Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and welcome to another edition of the Ground and Pound MMA show with Steve Carney, the Hall of Famer of WDA Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida, Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed. We're going to look back at UFC 218. Rory, Steve, an okay pay-per-view, nothing spectacular except for one knockout at the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. Overall, first I'll start off with Rory. What did you think of the pay-per-view?
The card was actually all right. It was decent. I think all the fights were what we thought they were going to be. But like you just mentioned, you know, the biggest highlight would have been the knockout and, you know, obviously the destruction of one Jose Aldo, which I know we'll get into in just a matter of moments.
All right, Steve, what did you think?
Well, you know, having watched the highlights of the knockout, you know, that's an exciting moment. I think that, of course, my homegirl Felice Herrick winning her fourth straight, that makes me very happy as well, though it was a split decision for some reason. I never got that. And giving her opponent, Courtney Casey, the double middle finger, that's just Felice being Felice. But that was my highlight. Just personally, because I've known Felice for so long, and that made me very happy.
And you also give that to Norm and Rory, and never mind. All right, now how do you like being the last name of Oliveira? Two guys named Oliveira on the card, both guys lost. Let's start off with that. Rory, your opinion on both these guys?
I feel like it's a trick question, Oliveira and Oliveira. Let's go take somebody to the Olive Garden. That's all I know what to say to that.
Olive Garden. You already want to eat. This guy
I'm hungry.
Wants to eat. All right. Steve, any comments about that, or do you want to move on to the next fight here?
I'll certainly talk about the Yancy Medeiros fight against Alex Oliveira, because I know that there are a lot of people that were excited to see the changes in the momentum. I know that there were people out there that are thinking, you know, match of the year, fight of the year candidate. I don't think it was quite to that level, though. It was a good fight. But you know, watching Charles Oliveira end up losing, getting knocked out was. I know that's a tough blow for some people who follow the UFC and think that Charles Oliveira is something to watch. I personally am not one of those people. But the Yancy Medeiros and Alex Oliveira fight, I was pretty impressed with the way that fight went, because it looked like one guy was going to take the upper hand and then it swung the other way. It's a lot of fun.
All right. So forget about Oliveira's. I'll take you to Olive Garden, Rory. Let's get on to Alvarez.
Getting the victory, TKO fashion,
round 3, 359 in. What do you think about that bout?
It's Eddie Alvarez, you know, trying to reclaim his throne back. It will be interesting to see what he does now. I think he's in a mall right now, and I think all eyes are what Conor does. So if you're Eddie Alvarez, you kind of have to think about it. Are you going to fight, say, for instance, Holloway? Do you drop down? Do you move up? What do you do, right? So I think what we have to wait for right now is what McGregor ends up doing, and if he ever fights again, and it probably won't just jostle the whole entire UFC. Lightweight
division. Steve, your thoughts about Eddie Alvarez?
197 significant strikes in this fight from Eddie Alvarez. I'm going to say it again. 197 significant strikes. I hope Conor comes back, because I think Eddie deserves another shot at him. But I don't know if Conor isn't going to come back. You know, I think that, you know, if Conor's not going to come back until, say, the end of 2018, which hopefully doesn't happen, you know, Dana's going to have to put together a fight for an interim title. And so I think Eddie Alvarez deserves consideration after really pushing the pace in that fight against Gota.
All right. Now, a little bit of a shocking, or maybe it's not shocking to you, Pettis going down to defeat Saturday night. Steve, let's start off with you.
You know, this is the lesser Pettis, as I like to call Sergio. Still a decent fighter, but he is not Showtime. His brother, Anthony Showtime Pettis, definitely is the better fighter of the two. I think Cejudo, and I know Cejudo basically called out Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson or TJ Dillashaw after the fight. I think that that Cejudo better watch out because he might be biting off a little more than he can chew there. But it was you know, these smaller guys are always exciting. I like that they were able to push the pace, and it wasn't any sort of you know, when the 15 minutes were up, yet you kind of knew that Cejudo was going to be the guy that was going to have his hand raised. He dominated, I thought, all three rounds.
All right, Rory, what did you think of Cejudo in that bout?
I'll just say this: the Pettises. The last thing I remember the Pettises is when Showtime, and I know we're supposed to be talking about his younger brother, but when Showtime did a wrap around and he kind of bounced off the cage and kicked Ben Henderson in the face. And the last thing I remember about the Pettises was the orbital bone break. The end of the day, let's move away from the Pettises. There's nothing Showtime about them. They're about to be no shows if they keep losing fights in the UFC.
All right.
Yeah, and so, you think about that wraparound wasn't even in the UFC. That was the final card of the WEC before it got absorbed in the UFC. That tells you how long ago that was.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, fans, you're listening to the MMA Ground and Pound show here on barnburner.ca with Steve Carney of WDA Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida, Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, episode, I believe, 64 is now out. Now, let's get to aforementioned knockout, Nagano, doing a number on Overeem. What a knockout. First, let's start off with Rory. Can you believe Overeem, you know, let's face it, he's a big-time player, but you ever see him being knocked out like he was on Saturday night?
I'll arguably say this. This is at least top five knockouts of all time in mixed martial arts history. This is equivalent to when Wanderlei Silva in Pride got, what's his name, in the pool he put him in and knocked out Rampage's knees. This is devastating. Like, that uppercut, he threw that from Mars. And all you heard was pop, and bodies went stiff. can we give this guy a title shot? Can we see him in a GTA fight in like 4 or 5 months from now? Because
I think he destroys Stipe. I think he destroys him. Steve, what do you say?
You know what? Looking at the and it's hilarious to look at the pictures from UFC 218, and of course the picture that they have on the UFC's website is Nagano looking like Mr. Sandman from Mike Tyson's Punch Out, and Alistair Overeem looking like Little Mac just catching an uppercut and heading to Dreamland. I'd be fine with if Nagano if Dana White said, you know what, kid, you want a shot at Stipe for the UFC heavyweight championship? You know, there's nobody else that's going to fight Stipe, because let's face it, I don't think that the UFC heavyweight division is worth a whole lot as of late. I think that you're looking at, as Rory said, one of the top five knockouts. I put it right up there with Gabriel Gonzaga's knockout of Mirko Krokop. A head kick. And Krokop ended up tearing his ACL on the way down. So that's the only reason I don't think it gets past Gabriel Gonzaga, which I think was the most devastating knockout I've ever seen in UFC history. But this one was right up there.
All right, the main event, as mentioned before, I think Rory mentioned it, Jose Aldo Jr. up against Holloway. Are you disappointed on Aldo? You know, he's certainly a legend, but it didn't appear that he was interested enough, put it this way. Like, you know, when he comes in and does his moves and gets into the fight, but for me watching it, I don't think he was sort of focused or interested in it. Rory, what did you think?
How are you supposed to be focused when you get knocked out in 13 seconds by Conor McGregor? He's done. I've been saying this, he's done. He should have just left, walked away from the sport. Now Max Holloway is the new face that runs the place in the featherweight division. Now, this is where I hinted off when I said, if you're Conor right now, because technically Conor held two titles, right? If you're Conor right now, you technically can come back and say, I want to fight Max Holloway, because it is an easy fight in fans' eyes. I still want to see Conor fight El Khoury, Tony Ferguson. But, you know, Max Holloway is about to really clean this division out. And when I look at this list, there's nobody there that's going to be able to even stand toe-to-toe with Max Holloway. The only person that is from a bird's eye view I can talk about is Henan Barão, but we already know what Dillashaw did to Barão.
All right, Steve?
Yeah, I look at what Holloway did to Jose Aldo kind of in the same way that Chris Weidman cleaned out Anderson Silva's clock a couple of times. The first time everybody thought, oh, maybe it was a fluke with Weidman, and then he comes back in. And, of course, Anderson breaks his leg on a checked kick. So you kind of knew that that was no joke. This, I think, was a little bit more of a statement from Max Holloway. He stopped the fight the first time in the third round. This one was in the third round. So you can definitely tell it's no fluke. And I agree with Rory. I think it's going to be interesting to see what Dana White is willing to do to try and put together maybe a super fight, a Conor Max Holloway fight, because I agree with Rory. The 145-pound weight class, really the only people who really matter at 145 pounds right now are Holly Holm and Chris Cyborg.
I love how he said that. Oh, boy.
All right. Before UFC 218, there was a Fight Night 680. Anybody want to touch on Fight Night on Friday night, Steve?
No, I totally missed Fight Night on Friday. I couldn't even tell you who's fighting in it.
Okay, forget about that. Now, some news coming out of Georges St-Pierre. He is out with colitis. I don't know, and Dana White, the quote I see here, is GSP is going to miss a minute. So when you miss a minute, Rory, can you tell me what a minute stands for? Like, is it 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, what?
It's a slang that the urban language has picked up, and I have friends of mine that be like, yo, I haven't seen you in a hot minute. And I'm like, speak English. English, please. I don't know what minute means, because the only minutes I know are on a clock and Minute Maid orange juice. That's it for all my Canadians here.
All right. So, Steve, what does a minute mean? Like, is it 60 seconds? Will he be back tomorrow or what?
You know, I think they said the same thing about Brock Lesnar when he had his intestinal issue as well. They thought that he was going to miss a minute, and we saw what happened there. So I think all bets are off. Now, there are guys that have come back from bouts of colitis and gone on to do good things in the sports world. I look at David Garrard, who used to be the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He had a condition called ulcerative colitis. I don't think that's what GSP has. I think he's just dealing with a little bit more of the inflammation rather than the sort of bleeding ruptures that come from UC. This is something that's going to have to be maintained. It's going to have to be maintenance, and they're going to have to really work to get this under control if they want to get him fighting at any sort of short time frame. I think that a minute is going to mean hopefully less than a year.
Okay, so let me just say something real quick, because when I hear of your intestines, you know, colitis, and it's an inflammation and whatnot, how do your intestines inflame like that? Now, I don't want to go out there and be the prophet and whatnot, but what are these guys putting in their bodies that are making these issues happen? Happen to Brock Lesnar.
Beefy Fritos burritos. That's what I put in.
Yeah. Well, You know what I really, really want to say is I won't say it on air because we might not.
No, say it on air. Say it on. You're Canadian. It's better you say it than Steve says it. So go ahead.
It's a formal.
And hold on. Before you say it, Rory knows what he's talking about because Rory is involved. He's a fitness freak and everything like that. So he, you know, that's his other job. So go ahead, Rory.
So okay, it's like Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds' head grew what, like 3 sizes or something like that. Let's be honest, these guys.
That was like the Grinch of Heart.
Yeah, these guys are—they're doping. They're taking roids. I'm sorry. They're taking. They're putting something in their system to make these things happen. And let's be honest here. Your intestine and like they don't just grow. Like what? like Stephen A. likes to say, stay off the weed. Please, can we stay off the HGH and the growth hormones, guys? Come on now.
All right. So a great work by Rory there. Now, this is happening 123 in Canada, main event, Kagan versus Swanson. What do you expect in this one, Steve?
Well, Cub Swanson is a guy that has been around, it seems like since the dawn of time, when it comes to MMA, going up against undefeated Brian Ortega. You know, I honestly think that the way that the 145-pound weight class on the men's side goes, if Ortega ends up beating Cub Swanson, he's probably going to be able to call out Max Holloway the way things are in that division. I don't know. I mean, some of these other fights in the undercard, Marlon Moraes and you've got, of course, Alexis Davis and Liz Carmouche fighting in the undercard. This is a card that is built basically around a guy whose prime in MMA was, I remember Cub Swanson, like 2007, 2008, people were talking about him. And here we are 10 years later, and he's going on his 33rd professional fight. And so if that's what a guy needs to do to make a paycheck, I say more power to him. But this is a 145-pound fight that I'm definitely not looking forward to.
All right, Rory, you want to add this or you want to touch on Carmouche versus Davis?
Not really. Like Rudy Reyes would say, I pass.
You pass. All right.
Everybody passes. So let's talk about,
you know, Bellator. They're heading into next year, their Grand Prix and all that. Are you guys excited, and do you think Bellator could finally compete with the UFC? Let's first start off with Steve.
You know, we've talked about this heavyweight World Grand Prix that's going to go on from Bellator, and that'll get started on January 20th. I personally don't think that Bellator is going to be able to compete with the UFC unless they get some serious, strong financial backing. But the way that the UFC cards are going, it wouldn't surprise me if more people weren't going to get interested in Bellator if they're able to put out strong cards. The thing, and you and I, Joe, have talked about this. I think that UFC has really started, has watered down their product almost to the point where they almost can't get back to where they were when they used to have a good pay-per-view, one pay-per-view a month, and that was what everybody was looking forward to. When you're having, a numbered pay-per-view event every, 2 weeks, and then you have all these fight night cards outside of that, it doesn't interest me as much as when there was one good numbered pay-per-view in a month and you didn't have anything else to really look forward to. Or if they had a card like a fight night card, it was something to look forward to because you didn't have that many of them. So I think that that if Bellator can pull this off, I think it's going to get people more interested in their product. But as for competing with the UFC, I mean, WME IMG paid $4 billion for the UFC. So you know they have the money. I don't know if Bellator, unless they get some serious outside financial support, is going to be able to compete, at least not at that level.
All right, Rory, we'll close it out with you. What do you think?
Bellator can't compete. Let's be honest here. This, like Steve just said, they need serious financial backing. I just looked at now who's actually in the actual Grand Prix. So Frank Mir, King Mo, Chael Sonnen, Matt Mitrione, Roy Nelson, Fedor, Ryan Bader, and Rampage Jackson. Like, I see what they're trying to do, but half of these guys in this Grand Prix tournament, let's be honest, they're past their time. They're past their prime. Probably time has caught up to a lot of these guys.
2003 called, right, Rory?
Yeah, especially Rampage. Yes, with mine. I don't even want to get into it because, yeah, I'll get judged quickly on the show. But, you know, they need serious backing and marketing and to be even on a bigger network. Good luck, Bellator. I'll try to watch the Grand Prix, but, you know, my pick was Fedor to win the whole thing, and possibly he might just win the whole thing.
All right. So I'm going to ask you this, Steve. In this MMA Ground and Pound show, what did you learn? Did you learn that actually Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, called out George St. Pierre for taking roids?
Yeah, you could do that. Or you could I learned that I really, really don't have a lot of respect for the 145-pound men's division in the UFC right now, apart from the champion. I'm not going to say anything bad about a guy in Max Holloway, who is definitely cream of the crop. But, yeah, when I say that apart from Max Holloway, the only people at 145 pounds that I care about are Chris Cyborg and Holly Holm, I mean it.
All right. That's Steve Kearney, WDA Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. Steve, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, at Steve Kearney, and you can listen to me. I'm on weekdays from 3 to 6 here on 620 WDAE in Tampa with my friend Steve Dumig. And if you're not in the Tampa Bay market and you want to listen, it is available both live and on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, episode 64 now up. When are you going to get Steve Kearney on your Mitchell Report Unleashed?
Season's greetings. It's the holiday season, so I'm definitely going to try to do that as soon as possible and whatnot. Sorry, Steve. We will definitely get you on the show.
Wait a minute. What does season greetings have to do when you're putting on the Hall of Famer Steve Kearney on your show?
Hey, for the Mitchell Report, we're talking about boxing. We're gonna talk about boxing on Boxing Day. Isn't that how it works? I don't know about
it. Yeah. By the way, he owes me a 4K TV, so we'll see if I comes through in Boxing Day. All right, Rory, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
It's easy. Twitter, Rory EGM.
All right. That has been another episode of the Ground and Pound show here on barnburner.ca. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Joe.